Shalom and welcome everyone. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. We welcome all of you and we hope that you have been studying our teachings and seeing that the last revelation of God has indeed come to humanity. And now is the time for humanity to wake up to this truth that they are children of one God, and he has prophesied this revelation will come at the end time, and now it has, and it's here. We have a new contact in Missouri. That's news and good tiding that mission indeed is expanding and reaching to a greater degree to humanity. And we hope one day have contact in every city and block and every places that human exists, so they can reach to humanity and direct them to this revelation and give them the good news that God indeed exists and he has been in charge for all this time. And now at this time, God is telling humanity that he has been sending all this revelation to man. We have been studying the revelation in Do and repeating them here for everybody to see. Not only all the religions of the world are unified, but also there are many, many more truths have been revealed to humanity that before this revelation, humanity was not aware of, or had a part of the truth, but was scattered in different places on earth, and now they have been all brought together as one body of truth and knowledge. We have been talking about Genesis, how the darkness was even before creation, and the Spirit of God or Christ comes to that darkness and tries to guide it to light. And eventually, his spirit finds the way, eternal divine path. It realizes that it has to awaken its spiritual forces, know thyself, to know God. He has to attract those who are also interested to return back home or to God or help God to bring the darkness back to light, to create a community. In this community, everybody has to give up themselves more than they take, sacrifice, and therefore they can support everybody to have the physiological and safety needs taken care of, and so they can have time to sit and meditate and awaken their spiritual forces. And also every person in the community knows the will of God. What is the will of God for me? God has been created all of us for a reason and purpose. And when we understand what the purpose of our being is in this lifetime, and then put that will of God for us under the umbrella of God's will, which is the eternal divine path, then we can come together and create environment that our purpose become a part of a greater reason and purpose of God, and therefore we surrender and submit to the will of God for ourselves and the eternal divine path, so we become a part of the comings of light. And also we expand our consciousness and become universalists, shatter all narrowness of the mind and prejudicity and separative ideas, and anything separates a part of the universe from the other is not from God. Therefore we understand that we have to become a universalist. We no longer can accept any ideas out there that says this part of the universe is better, or that part is greater, or this is higher and this is lower. So we can become a universalist, shatter all the norms of the mind. These are the beings that God called the elect, the chosen one. So the whole path was Christ walked with the Spirit of God, and when God saw that this indeed works and makes sense and is the path that indeed in eternity have been established, he said, and there was light. Therefore, Christ reaches back to the Godhead, and the light and the path and the way is been shown. And every messenger of God or major manifestations declare to humanity, I am the way, the truth, and no one goes to the Father but through me. And all of them have been correct, because each of them had a part of the truth. And now that everything has been put together, indeed, no one goes to the Father but through the eternal divine path and understanding of our teachings. Therefore, it called to salvation to man and shattering everything else that is beside us as something that is not perfect or complete. In this state, still it was hard to help the darkness. Therefore, God decides to create the creation, and he creates creation and eventually man. Man falls, and God separates man to lower nature and higher nature. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, he creates these two parts that makes it more intensified, because man become attracted to external world and thinks that external world is the truth. They live like this is their reality. This is what the real thing is in their life, and that's why they have been created here to drink, party, be attached to the programs or this and that. And if you flip the television, you can see the delusion and illusion that has been imposed on humans. And they think that is the truth and reality, when it is all created, and science is telling them it's all is atom and quarks and strings, and there is a base of the creation that everything has come from it. So everything is in flux and temporary, and nothing in this universe is permanent. But still they are hanging into those things and their fears and attachments and desires and the things that make them receive attention or being the center of something that make the ego feels alive. And of course, ego, as Christian call the devil, is a liar, as they say. Devil is a liar. So is the ego. Ego is a liar. Tells you that this creation is the real thing. Be attached to it. Be afraid. Make stories. Get negative attention. Do anything which is against Maitreya's teachings, and then still say, Yeah, I am a part of the mission, and I'm here to do God's will. We can see how powerful and how delusional the ego can be, and how it does everything possible to divert our attention from the essence to the temporary things that we are so attached to and they are so real to us. So God created the creation in a temporary state. It has just been created to guide the unit consciousnesses to practice, to realize their essence, and realize they and God are one. There is no separation, and anything which separates us from that understanding is nothing but the lies that ego is telling us, and we believe him. That's exactly happened in the Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't listen to the lies of the ego. Don't fall away from your path of understanding, affecting your spiritual forces, creating an environment that everybody progresses, sacrifice for this environment, and surrender and submit to the will of God for you, under the general will of God, and become universalists. But ego came and said, you don't have to do that. You can be self-centered and selfish and do whatever you want. And they did. Human fail. They become more gross and they receive eventually human body. And we came to the time of the flood of Noah. Of course, not everybody failed. Some of these unit consciousnesses progressed. As we know, the first begotten son reached pure consciousness before creation. And then there was Enoch that God took him, but still helping human was difficult. That's why in the time of the flood of Noah, God decided to destroy the old man, close the third eye, and just give the intellect to them. And therefore, the third eye was closed, and we now have two eyes that we do not see anything from the spiritual world, but this external world. So Maya even became stronger for them, because their third eye wasn't even open to be able to see there is another reality behind this creation, which is so real to our two physical eye. Now those who want to recognize and realize this other world or spiritual world, they have to meditate. They have to go internally and awaken their spiritual forces, open the chakras, realize that they have a spirit, they have spiritual centers, and eventually open their third eye so they can see, yes, indeed, the spiritual world is more real than this external world, because the spiritual world is not even created by atoms and quarks and all the creation that is based on the temporary things. It is really permanent. That's what the first step in the eternal divine path for those who have only two eyes is to close those two eyes and redirect the energy from going out to going in and within. The moment you close your eyes, you shut a very powerful sense that makes us to sitting, to desire things, to long to fulfill those desires, and when that desire become fulfilled, we become attached to the subject of desire, and attachment creates greater greed, and greed creates more attachments and more desires, and we have to do things that is necessary for us to gain whatever I always saw and wants. Therefore, after a while, like a quicksand, we are absolutely sucked into this external world, and we become a part of it, and we forget about God and mission and Maitreya and teachings and return to God. The only thing that is important to us is to fulfill that desire, that wants, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. If it's not God's word and his revelation and his will, it is Maya. So the third eye of man is closed. Actually, There are many stories that there have been giants on earth, and we have heard that there have been people who had only one eye, and they lived before the flood of Noah. And usually, if there is a myth or a story in the past, there is some truth in them. And therefore, those who lived before the flood of Noah, the third eye was opened, but now man does not have that eye open, but we have people with two eyes. Not only he closed the third eye of human, he also created four classes. Shudras, those with the ability to work, and they are only interested in physiological and safety need, and where is their food come, and they work day to day just to have the physiological and safety needs taken care of. Usually they don't have much of ambition after that. Katrians, or warrior class, those who are courageous, and they are leaders and pioneers and people who want to know the danger lies ahead, and they are not accepting that they can be in danger, but they are willing to put themselves in that situation and solve the problem or overcome it. The vipras, or intellectual, those who think and they want to figure out everything in the universe by their mind. And usually they are the ones who say, explain God to me. And when you tell them God is not explainable, but it is an experience that completely throws them out of their center, and that doesn't make sense to them at all. But God is beyond mind, beyond intellect. They cannot fathom that depth of experiencing instead of experimenting. They are the people, they have discovered many scientific discoveries, created technology. They are usually managers or people who participate in a lot of committees and make decisions and come up with solutions. And the fourth group are the businessmen, those who love to hoard the wealth, use it to expand their holding and power, and as they become rich, they become more powerful and they can control more things. In the beginning, they were only shudras or workers, and they were very afraid, and they only wanted somehow to have their physiological and safety needs taken care of. Therefore, they were very afraid of everything in the external world, and they were creating all these stories about ghosts and power of volcano and many things that is superstitious and create an environment that man become completely dependent on the external world and has no ability to overcome or realize the depth or the truth behind things. As these people lived in groups or tribes, one of them became more courageous, and he would not accept those saying and would experiment and go and find out the truth behind what those people were saying, and therefore he became a hero to those that saw his courage and became their leader. And this person had the Katrian ability, or warrior, or courageous. As these people became more powerful, they took over other tribes, and after they took over many other tribes, they eventually create nations, and nations eventually create empires, and that is where the highest power of this Katrian class reached. But as they became more powerful, they needed to deal with other Katrians, other countries, other emperors. Therefore, they needed intellectuals to go and talk and create a political maneuvering or ability to make deals with other emperors and kings, And little by little, this intellectual became more powerful than the Cassian, because most of the maneuvering wasn't with the war anymore, but with the political systems. So after a while, the kings became just kingpins or the head, but the real power was at the hand of the ministers and people who had the ability to use the mind. That is the time that intellectual ability eventually took over, and the kings and the Cassian era declined. The intellectual, of course, they love sensual things, that they want to have those things to create an environment that they can enjoy it. So as they became more powerful and they had the money and the ability, they spent for sensual reasons, and the business class to start providing them for intellectual to enjoy themselves, and therefore their money goes more and more to business class, and they became more powerful and rich. And at the time of the Dark Age, we see when Louis XVI is the king in France, he owes everything he has to the business people, and he really is bankrupt, but he's the king. This explanation, of course, can also be chased or traced in history. In the beginning, there was only Shudras and workers, and then Nimrud become the first king, which is even mentioned in the Bible. It continues until the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when he has that dream of the statue that had a head of gold and a chest of silver and belly of brass and the legs of iron and the feet of the iron and clay. And he was such a powerful king and Cassian that he made an image and said everybody should pay homage to that image, and they did. And Daniel explained to him there's going to be five kingdoms, and he was the gold. He was the head of the Cassian. And that power falls as the time goes on. Then we can see at the time of the Renaissance, the intellectual domination completely take over the world, and humanity reaches a point they think they can explain everything, they can discover everything, they can be their own God, little by little put God out of the picture. And at the time of the Industrial Revolution, the power of the businessman reached its zenith, and we are in many nations at that period or cyclical movements. In some other countries like Russia or communist bloc, they had a revolution, and one period of cyclical movement was completed, but they realized that communist ideology is not perfect either. So they again went back to Cassian era, which was the period that the head of the state was a dictator, or he would completely take over and had the power. And then they changed it to intellectual domination, and now Russia goes toward business orientation. It's not completely accepted that yet. And as you said, there's a struggle between transition from that period to the second level. So we can see this going from Shudra to Cassian to intellectual to business era is a cyclical movement that if human doesn't understand, they will progress with it and they will be guided, but with the bloodshed, revolution, and destruction that comes to them. So with this explanation, we can see it. At the time of the flood of Noah, God created also this new system that will guide humanity, which no longer have access to the spiritual world, to in a greater degree of realizing the external world, and also create a political and economical systems that will continue as a cyclical movement to go on. After the flood of Noah, we can see the first time in the Bible there is a leader, there is somebody who called king, as Nimrod. Before that, everybody had their third eye open, everybody thought They don't need anybody in the external world. Internal world was more real to them than external world. But of course, because they were egoistical and self-centered, they used that power and they were corrupted. That's why God said, the whole earth is corrupt and my spirit is not going to struggle with them. And he created this new human that we are now. And our third eye is not there anymore. And therefore, we cannot see that there is indeed a spiritual world, an external world. It's just a temporary place. The more people realize that, they come together and they create the ability to have their physiological and safety need taken care of. Because if your physiological and safety need is not taken care of, your spirit, your soul cannot stay in it to progress. That's why in our teaching, providing a physiological and safety need for everyone is important as a part of the communities of light. In the communities of light, when 12 people come together, maybe 9 and 10 of them go out there and work and bring the resources. One or two stay at the community to take care of the children and also create an environment that is safe for everybody. Then they don't have to work hard and be alone in this battle of providing for the community. Therefore, working and bringing resources to the community is a part of our teaching. It's not neglected at all. And when those necessities are provided and more communities of light are created, eventually humanity will reach a point that they can even reach to the stars and even have a greater degree of material wealth and resources, and we reach a point that we don't need a struggle to take care of our physiological and safety need. We return to Garden of Eden. They didn't till the ground. They did not need to struggle for their physiological and safety needs because God provided for them. But this time we go there wiser by realizing and understanding these teachings and creating an environment not to be attached to it, not believing this external world is the only truth and reality, but realizing that the goal of the life is to become divine. How you become divine? You follow the eternal divine path and you use that good environment that has been created by the communities of light to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, ability to see the will of God for you, and surrender and submit into it and become a part of the umbrella of the will of God, which is the eternal divine path, creation of the communities and coming of the peace and unity and the kingdom of God on earth. And this accelerates our progress toward the goal of life, to become divine. So, we can see with this, there is a great purpose and reason for being here and revelation of this mission. Sayyid Muhammad is asking, how can as I, Muslim, know that you are the Messiah? Well, that is something every person, every individual have to prove it to themselves. Look at the prophecies. Look at the word of God. God said, when the book sealed with the seventh seal is opened, the only person who can open it is the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you tell that to a Jew or a Hebrew or a Christian, they understand it right away. It means a person who is from the lineage of King David. Prophet Muhammad wasn't from the lineage of the King David. He was from the lineage of Ishmael. Therefore, we can see God's word and what Muslims believe is not the same. God says the book sealed with the seventh seal will be opened at the lion of the tribe of Judah. He also says everything is mystery until the seventh angel comes. So there is no blame on you if you didn't know the whole truth. Actually, there is no blame in any religion or their follower if they don't know all the truth and they believe that they have all the truth, but not according to the word of God. Because God says it will only happen after the seventh angel comes and opens the seven seals. So we can see that all the religion and understanding before this revelation is not perfect and not complete. And if you see all these things and go and understand, the prophecies are fulfilled, the word of God has been manifested, and what you have is a part of God's revelation, and see the truth of the unity that have come through this mission, which leaves you no doubt. This is from God. Other religion can believe that they have the whole truth, but if they see the word of God and compare with what they believe, they will realize they don't. Therefore, the only thing we can do for you is to direct you to this truth, to the revelation, to the word of God, to the prophecies, genealogy, and then after you see all these things, you see how unique this revelation is and how unique this manifestation is. You will have no doubt but proclaim to the world, yes indeed, the Messiah is here, the revelation is here, he who said to all of us, I am the way and the truth, and no one goes to the Father but through me, have brought the path for us to walk and go back to God. Therefore, we can see that each individual has the ability to prove it to themselves, and if there is a thread of the sincerity, you will find the truth in this revelation. We are not going to convince you. They're not going to try to convert you. We just give you the message. We give you the website which shows you the prophecies fulfilled. The genealogy makes sense. It is based on the word of God. It explains the unity of our religion. It explains how even political system and history has been created by God to this point. So he's in power. He is the one who's guiding everything. We are in delusion if we think we have the power or we are more powerful than God. We can go do whatever we want. We have to recognize our blessing even has been given by God. Therefore, do not become ungrateful. Because as Quran says, those who become ungrateful will lose the grace of God. Therefore, we can intellectual everything we want and try to come with all these ideas of man, but none of them will work but God's idea. And with this revelation, the devil is really mad. He's really trying to change the world to the worst state possible. And God is out of every corner, every level of human existence, and man thinks they can go against nature. Whoever lives against nature will fail. But there are set up with nature that have to be followed. If the nature ignored, nature destroys. As simple as that. So that is your answer. The answer is you have to prove it yourself. You have to know the truth that has come here. Sayyid Muhammad is asking only one God. You're right, but he is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. The moment you give him a name, shape, anything that appears to the human senses is not ultimate. And indeed, we believe in that. There is only one God that you have to go beyond any ability to explain him in any level as possible. Yes, indeed, he's nameless. Allah is the name that is used in Arabic language, meaning God. And also Prophet Muhammad said, all the good names belong to him. So, he didn't say that he has only one name. He has only one subtle energy or vibration that cannot be explained or uttered in external world. And Prophet Muhammad also alluded to it, that God has 3,000 names and humanity knows only 2,999 of them. So Prophet Muhammad even said, there is one name humanity don't know. So he was correct. There is a name, which we call it the holy name, or holy word, which now is been revealed to humanity through seven initiation, to those that they are most dedicated to the mission and this cause, and are willing to give themselves to this mission 100% and prove themselves indeed they are 100% with it. Therefore, we can see beyond all this thing, there is no name for God. God just is. Actually, if you read the Bible, God asked Adam to give name to things. He didn't give name to things because he didn't need them. He relates to things according to their nature, according to what they have been created for to be. Therefore, Adam called them whatever he wanted, and God said, okay, sure, we accept your names. Organa is asking if there is time, a young person trying to understand mission is having difficult time with this, his ego. He says, the only thing I could say is to be aware of ego is the first and best step at the moment. And universe will help when it can. Do not judge yourself. Relax and be aware. And experience with will help. Is this a good thing to suggest to him? He also tries to listen to these satsangs. We believe that the elect has been in forming and progressing for last 12,000 years. Therefore, those who are elects, when they hear these teachings, they understand it right away, and they do not create much of excuses to follow it. When I start the mission, I try to help people and bend for their excuses and for their desires as much as I could. But I realize more and more, if they don't jump with 2 feet to the mission and accept it, usually they do not stay around very long. Even those who jump into the mission with 2 feet, some of them might have a problem by believing they are elect, and that is an ego gratification for them to say, oh, I'm a part of the mission, I'm an elect, and they think that's the end of that. But elect, of course, does not just mean you believe in it, but you manifest the eternal divine path through yourselves. So therefore, when they come and stay and they see it's more difficult than they thought it is to be an elect, then they blame me or the mission or something else and stuff. Progressing, awakening the spiritual forces, and joining the Comets of Light. They don't even join the Comets of Light, and they want to be called an elect. Therefore, it is a mission for the elect. It is the mission for the most dedicated, the most realized, and therefore, you can work with that person. That's okay. You can give him the teaching and let him listen to this satsangs or conversations, but first of all, become an elect yourself, and second of all, look for those who are elect. That doesn't mean that we reject everybody else in this mission but the elect. In fact, there was a discussion with one of the persons who are close and work with commission, but those who are not really elect, and somebody suggested we should just cut them off. But that's not the truth. It's just like you want to separate the cream or butter from the milk. What do? You throw the milk out because you cannot see the butter? No, you just accept the whole thing. You chew and put it in the butter making machine, and you chew it until the cream and the butter comes up, and you scoop the butter, and then you have the butter separated from the milk. Even Christ said the same thing. They woke up in the morning and they realized that somebody put wheat into their field. And people who were working with a spirit told God, let's take the wheat out. And he said, no, don't do it. Let all grow together. And when the harvest time comes, we take the wheat and we leave the grass or the chaff behind. Therefore, all are welcomed here. We will work with everybody. We will accept them. And we will wait for those butters to emerge. That's the way God said is going to happen. Everything is going to grow together. And that young man is really wants to progress. The only way is to follow eternal divine path and these teachings. We don't have time of eternity. This is the time of sundering and separation. It might sound a little harsh to a lot of people, but the truth of it is that's what God said. Of course, humanity and earth is not listening to God and His words. Sometimes I feel I'm the only person promoting God's words. Of course, other people are also doing it and coming along well. And indeed, the cream and the butter is forming. But we cannot compromise our situation because other people want to have excuses to keep their ego. No, as far as you have ego, you are separated from God. Actually, that's the only thing this mission and God hates. Ego. Otherwise, we love everybody. Of course, everybody has ego. But that doesn't mean we don't love that person. We just don't like their ego. The person we love. The essence we do. The essence of that young man we do love. But ego is not something to be hanging into. And at the same time, we do understand humanity has his ego. If they didn't, there wouldn't be darkness. Therefore, we can see indeed the darkness still exists, the ego exists, human has them. And we accept that as a part of this struggle, that they do have ego. But we have to guide them and tell them the truth. The truth of it is the ego got to go. It just can't stay. And it doesn't matter how much excuses and the ability to describe it and explain it and want to keep our ego because we want to keep them. Eventually they have to recognize and realize, no, these are all my excuses. And therefore I have to listen to God, not what I believe. That's a big problem with humanity, that they have ideas, they have opinions, they have their own understanding. Well, they're not saying, come here and be brainwashed. No. Understand God's word. Understand revelation and the struggle that he's been going through and realizing that his word is good for us. The nature, the natural way of living is good for us. That brings the grace of God and the beauty to humanity. As far as we have our own opinion and ideas, and we separate ourselves from God's word and ideas, therefore we are not surrendered and submit to the will of God. Tell this young man that these are okay. He can continue to do that, but the ultimate is to realize God and listen to his word and his will and surrender and submit to it. And eventually one day experience God and your oneness with it and realize, oh, I was so wrong. If I have the smallest thread of ego, I am cut off from the grace. I am separated. It's not going to work. It's as simple as that. It's just not going to work. The smallest ego is illusion and delusion, and is their separation. So teach them to overcome their ego. Teach them to go beyond it. For a kind of follow-up, he seems more worried that his ego will block his spiritual progress and feels he might not be good enough to do well spiritually. I would be worried too. Yes, indeed everybody should worry that they have ego and their ego has to go. And the only way to do it is to follow eternal divine path to its max. That's the only way. You cannot even follow it lukewarmly. You can say, well, I'm just going to meditate, but I'm not going to create communities of light. Or, okay, I'm going to meditate and go to the community, but I'm not going to sacrifice and be a part of it and be in a community material. Or I'm going to be in community and sacrifice, but I sacrifice as much as I want. I'm not going to follow the will of God for me. Or I'm not going to accept the whole universe as God, just going to accept this race and that race, or this part or that part. I would be very worried as he is. Because, as he said, the slightest ego will separate you from God. I would have said something else if that wasn't the truth, but that is the truth. And that's why so few people really want to follow eternal divine path, because it's so against human nature. Eternal divine path creates the sons of God. And sons of God don't have the fault of man. Therefore, eternal divine path is absolutely against human nature. First of all, you have to close your eyes and awaken your spirit. Who wants to do that? When I have my friend, my party, my drink, my television, this program, that program, I don't have time. I don't have time to close my eyes because that's a hard thing to do. Okay, eventually I get the time, I close my eyes. Now you're asking me not only close your eyes, leave all my relatives and friends and all that and come and join the community of light. I can't do that. Then you want to be sacrificed. I don't want to be sacrificed. I want to be self-centered and selfish and have everything for myself. And then surrender and submit to the will of God. First of all, I don't know the will of God. Well, you know the will of God now as the eternal divine path, but you don't know what and where you fall in that path. And that's where meditation comes from. What is your abilities? What God created you to be. And then expand my mind, accept everybody in every religion, in every nation, in every part of the world. Black, white, red, yellow. Are you kidding? I'm from this country. I'm from the best country in the world. Those are people are not very good. They're failure, you know. This and that, it just goes on and on. That's why you are going to have a bigger struggle to go through. But that is the only way I know, and God has revealed it to me. It's going to work for your ego. And everything that we talk that is in your way is related to ego. Not want to close your eyes. External world is more important for you than the spiritual. Don't want to join the comments of life. You're attached, your ego is attached to external world. You don't want to sacrifice because it's self-centered. You don't want to realize God's will for you and how it works in the eternal divine path. I want my will, I have my ideas, my opinion, my understanding. Why should I go read the scriptures, Quran, Upanishad, Old Testament, New Testament, Baha'i's teachings and Bab's revelation, Bayan? No, I have my own idea of what all those say. So we can see that indeed, if you want to get rid of your ego, if you want to spiritually progress, you have to follow eternal divine path. You have to have awakened spiritual forces. join the commerce of life, sacrifice, surrender and submit to the will of God and become universalist. That is the way. There is no other way. We can bring all the excuses in the world why we are not doing what Maitreya says. This is okay with me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just giving what God tells humanity to do. They have to come together to create comes of light. There is no other way around it. So that is why that young man and everybody else to recognize and realize we have to stop having excuses. We can have the excuses of the world, but God said that is the only way you can get rid of the ego. And getting rid of the ego is the most priority for everybody. Sayyid Muhammad is asking, how do you know so much about Islam? When I was growing up in Islamic countries, I never read Quran. I didn't know what is in it. It was something that you wrapped it, you put it on the altar or where you do your namaz, and whatever you hear, what it says is from mullahs and your family or parents or other people. Until I received the understanding of the Bible about the creation and how God created everything, and when I realized how wonderful it was, I said, well, maybe there's something in Quran I don't know. So I was born culturally in Islamic country, so I know all about the superstitions and dogmas and the thing that they believe, and also I read the Quran. And I saw such a great discrepancy between what Quran says and what a lot of people believe in that religion. I also realized what New Testament says and what Christian believe, what Old Testament says and what Jews believe, what Upanishad says and what Hindus believe. So there is a great difference between Islam and Muslim. The difference between Christianity and Christians, Judaism and Jews, Hinduism and Hindus, Buddhism and Buddhists, even Baha'is and teaching of Baha'u'llah. And also, of course, God has been very good to me and He reveals this beautiful, wonderful truth through me to humanity, which in Islam calls Wahy. Prophet Muhammad wasn't even educated and he knew so much. Why? Where did that come from? How did he know? As Quran is the miracle of Muslims, the message and the truth and the unity that have come through this revelation is the miracle of the mission of Maitreya. So, the truth of our religion now is here for you to know. Everything I know, I have given for last 23-24 years to humanity. That's why our website is so huge, because God gives so much truth. As explained before, it is believed that all the revelation before the seventh angel put together is only two part of the 25 part of God's truth. When this revelation comes, the rest of the 25 or 23 other parts will reveal to humanity. And if you know our teaching, you see that is the truth. Because the amount of the truth have come through this revelation is amazing. It's no other revealer have been able to give that much of the truth. And then this is really funny because some people come and we tell them, go to our website, and they go to the first page, and 5 minutes later they come back and say, I know about your teaching. No, it takes average 7 years of a person studying our website, our teaching, listening to our satsang, and conversation, and really is sincere about it. They might have a glimpse. Even those who know the unification of the religion, still they admit that they don't know everything. And they don't know, for instance, the part of the cyclical movement and the political and the economical part of the mission that now is revealed to man. Nobody before this knew what we were explaining today. Now, if they can understand it, they see this cyclical movement is going to go on if they do not understand it and succumb to this truth. So that is why I know so much about God and His revelation. Because He said, when the seven angels come, the whole truth will come to humanity. Going back to our topic, I don't see any other question. So we can see this creation of the four classes. And of course, there's one more class there that does not include to this, because that is really people who have progressed and have come to higher consciousness, which are called Brahmins, or true spiritual beings that come to humanity to bring truth of God to them and also to guide them in a greater degree. Mikran is asking, what does my church say about Zoroastrianism? Zoroastrianism is the first religion that brought the idea of one God, Ahura Mazda. He indeed influenced the religions which came after Zoroaster. The whole idea of one God and the Ahriman or devil have come from that religion. And indeed we believe that Abraham was a follower of the Zoroastrian religion and knew about these teachings, Zoroastrian religion, and that is why he was preaching one God and was opposing the statues and idols. As the story goes, one day everybody left the town, and when they came, they saw all their idols were broken in the city that Abraham was in. And they knew who did it, because they knew Abraham was the only person who doesn't believe in statues and idols. So they went and told him, why did you break this? And he said, yeah, they didn't do it. The statue got angry and killed everybody else in the thing. And they said, why do you lie? He cannot even move. He said, why, if it's not moving, why do you worship him? So he was indeed a Zoroastrian and probably a Persian, and all the great prophets have come from his lineage, from Middle East. Also a branch of the Aryan race went to India, which mixed with the blacks there, because India came from Africa, and Middle East also, people could come from Africa to the Middle East. And the other part of the plan of God was in India, which we can see all the great revealers like Krishna and Shiva and even Buddha brought this other part of God's revelation and plan. As we explained, there are two plans. There was one for the Judeo-Christian, and the other was the mystical path, Hinduism and Buddhism. So all the great prophets and revealers came from the mixture between Aryans and the blacks in Persia and India. So God created another thing that it shows He is in charge. So Zoroastrian religion, you can say, is the founder and the base of Judeo-Christian Islamic religion. Indeed, they believe that Savior or Mitra will come at the end time and save the whole humanity, and eventually God wins over Ahriman or devil. And that's exactly what Jews and Christian and Muslim believe. So the great revelation was given to him, to Zoroaster, from God, which put in motion to bring other part of the eternal divine path to humanity. So it is great religion, and they have a lot of truth. But of course, this is what explains even what Zoroastrian was predicting to come. All right, I guess we are over our time, and we leave you all to God again. Again, ponder in this revelation and truth, and realize there is no other way. eternal divine path is the way to go, and the Word of God have come to humanity through many revelations and the truth and religions. Now they have been unified, and 23 more of God's truth have come to man. No other religion can claim that. I know all the people come to us and each say our religion have everything in it. But read this revelation to see how much you're missing and you don't know. Now it has come to you. So now is the time for humanity to come together and follow the eternal divine path. There is no excuse. No matter what you think you are doing, it's okay. I'm going to get into my ego. It's not going to work until you follow the eternal divine path to its max. And truthfully. And be truthful to yourself about it. So, this is the only way. And no one goes to the Father but through this. Have a godly week. Be with God. And may God guide you all to the light. Salam, everybody.